VentureCast.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This week on the Deep Leadership Podcast.
So my message is don't give up. Keep plugging away and eventually you're going to see a good result. And don't let it go to your head. Recognize that there are millions, tens of millions of people out there who probably have better ideas than you.
Hi, and welcome to Deep Leadership. I'm your host, John Rennie. Well, I hope all is well with you today. It is a beautiful spring day here in North Carolina. And this episode is brought to you by our sponsors, Leader Connect, Ignite Management Services, and Liberty Strength. These sponsors help me bring these shows to you each and every week, so I encourage you to click on their links below and check them out. Now, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to episode 300, our last episode, but if you didn't, I really highly encourage you to go check it out. That was my interview with the great and powerful Neil Woodson, and the episode was called Giving a Shit, and we were giving away 30 books for those who comment on the YouTube video of that episode, so episode 300. So go to the YouTube page for Deep Leadership and comment on that video, and we still have some books to give away. So go ahead and do that before you listen to this podcast, because you want to get that free book. Now, in this episode right now, I'm joined by Robert Dillenschneider, a recognized expert in power and influence, and we sat down to discuss the changing landscape of power and influence in the digital age. Now, Robert emphasizes the importance of effective communication, leveraging successes, and maintaining humility in leadership roles. Now, this was an important discussion. If you want to be an effective leader, you need to master the use of power and influence. So, are you ready to dive in? Let's get started.
Welcome to Deep Leadership. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former Cold War submarine officer who spent 20 plus years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters. Leadership matters. Are you ready for some real world actionable advice from John as well as his expert guests?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
The show starts right now.
Welcome to the Deep Leadership Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Robert Dillenschneider. Robert formed the Dillenschneider Group back in 1991, headquartered in New York, Miami, and Chicago. The firm provides strategic advice and counsel to Fortune 500 companies, leading families, and individuals around the world. They focus on mergers and acquisitions, crisis communications, marketing, government affairs, and international media. Robert has authored 18 books, and his latest book is called The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence, Everything You Need to Know. And in this book, Robert explains how technology and globalization have changed the ways to build and keep success. He reminds our readers that to accomplish your goals, you must not only gain power, but also apply it with proper wisdom. I'm excited to have him on the show to talk about the role of power and influence and leadership. So, Robert, welcome to the show.
It's great to be on the show. Any opportunity to appear on your show is really special because the show is so well regarded out there in the United States. And so it's thrilling to be on the show. The people that have been on the show ahead of me have all told me that this is really a great show. And it is. It's a great platform and you inform a lot of people and a lot of lives are made better because of this show.
Oh, Robert, I appreciate that endorsement. And I'm honored to have you on the show. I mean, you've written 18 books. I know we were talking before we pressed record. You got another one in the works. It's exciting. But I wanted to talk about the latest book, The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence. Now, you're a person who could write this book, but what inspired you to write this book and get it out there to the world?
Well, it struck me many years ago that power and influence were critical to the really tens of thousands of people who were starting to get into the decision-making process. It used to be back in the 40s and the 50s, the decisions were made by just a few people, and you kind of had to take it. And if you didn't like it, you still had to take it. That all changed. All of a sudden, people from all walks of life started to find themselves in positions where they did have an opportunity to make a decision, did have an opportunity to make a move forward. And so they also found that they didn't have the real influence, understanding of it, the real power, understanding of it, to do this. So several people asked me, this is many years ago, to write Power and Influence. And I did. And it became a bestseller. And about 3 years ago, my editors called me and they said, "Would you do an update?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean an update?" And they said, "Well, we've noticed a lot of things, technology and many more people entering the role of Power and Influence. We'd like to include that." So I've done that. And I'm excited about the book. It's doing well. I get reports every day about how well it's doing and in different parts of the country. And so it's exciting to do it.
Yeah, I like what you said there, that there's more and more people coming from all walks of life that are stepping into the world of power and influence. And one of the things that really stands out to me is like the, you know, podcasting, which is sort of, and YouTube, which is sort of amateur radio, amateur TV. You have self-publishing of books, which is basically amateur book writing. I mean, more and more people are, you know, it used to be there were gatekeepers, you know, at the big networks and the publishers and what have you. And now people are getting around the gatekeepers and having a lot of influence. You know, these YouTube stars, like Mr. Beast, who's like one of the most globally influential persons today, is a young kid with a camera. You know, and so I think you're right. I think more and more people are stepping into this world than ever before.
The key to stepping into the world, and a lot of people want to step into the world, is knowing how to promote yourself and your ideas and how to make 1 + 1 = 3 and how to get Mr. and Mrs. America excited about what you want to do. A lot of people want to do that, don't know how to do that, and I hope they'll read the book Power and Influence. They'll learn how to do that.
Absolutely. Can you give us like maybe some insights or maybe a lesson from the book that's particularly critical for today's professionals when it comes to the subject?
I think that the most important lesson message from the book is you don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa. You don't have to be a CEO. You don't even have to be a middle manager. If you want to influence something, a decision out there, you can do it. And the key is knowing how to do it, how to create the environment so that people in and around your sphere say, "Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'd like to do something like that." That's really the key. It's a big topic. And there are a lot of individual topics in the book, how to use television, how you should work at individual meetings, how you should present yourself, how you should figure out how to tap into the media. There are a lot of things like that. But the real key is coming to grips with the fact that you can do something and don't just let it wave over you. You can actually make a significant moment happen in American and global life.
Yeah. You know, I think if I just think, look over my lifetime and the people that have shaped America, they come from all, you know, different walks of life, right? And so suddenly someone does something that changes the whole course of, you know, like an Elon Musk now is like, he's shaping culture. You know, he's showed not only technology, but also, you know, free speech and these things with his purchase of Twitter and now X. So we have these people now that are major influential figures that didn't even exist maybe 15 years ago. You didn't even know that they exist. So I think you're right. I think they're anyone can find themselves in that spotlight. And the question is, what do you do with it? And how do you operate in that spotlight?
Musk is a very interesting example. And of course, you mentioned Musk's name, you have to mention Bezos as well, because they're both hugely, they're rich, frankly. And they've reached the point that maybe you, and most of your listeners won't ever get to. But they're there. And the thing to really realize about them, in my opinion, is they have people working for them that are very skilled and know exactly what they're doing. And when it's appropriate to bring these people up to the fore, they do it. So they might get credit for something that happens, but pardon me. It's generally the people below them that make it happen. And I saw a picture the other day of Donald Trump, and around the picture were about 20 different men and women who worked for him. Donald Trump's important, but the 20 people who work for him, who care about him, are more important. Joe Biden is important. He's in the White House. He's the president of the United States, for God's sake. But knowing how government works, you've got 20 or 30 people that really make Joe Biden's day. And so that happens. In a big corporation, a CEO who tries to take the credit for what he does or she does is going to lose because most people out there say, Johnny is not really the person that made this happen. Here are six people who did. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to understand the nature of how decisions are made recognize how to constructively influence those decisions. That's very important.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So how has your experience, you've been in PR, you're a business consultant. How has that shaped your perspective on power and influence?
I've been in the field for many, many years. And at one point, I ran the biggest communications company in the world. I was asked one day to break the law. And I said to the fellow who asked me to break the law, I don't think that's really a good idea. And I said, you could do it if you want to, but I'm not going to participate in it. And this gentleman said to me, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to leave the company. And he said, you can't do that. I controlled a lot of the business. You can't do that. And I said, yes, I can. Anybody who asks me to break the law, I don't want to do business with them. I don't want to get involved with them. So I left. And I recognized that many of the ideas, the maxims that were in that book, Power and Influence, are ones that I should really adopt and involve myself with. So I did it. And I found that I became a, for lack of a better word, a figure on the world stage and somebody that people would call on a fairly regular basis almost every day to ask what to do about things. There's a man who's in his final moments right now, and he's being surrounded by people who stand to gain a lot from his loss. He's worth well over $100 billion. And I've tried to say, and I think pretty successfully, to these people, let's celebrate this good guy and what he's done, and then let's take the good parts of what he's done and try to take them up several steps. And to the most part, people have agreed with that. There's some who haven't. They want their share of the pie to go off and do their own thing. I generally try to ignore those people. But pardon me, those people that really want to make something happen, it's possible you can do it if you understand power and influence. If you understand that, for example, in the media, there are really only a few people that drive the bus. It's critical. If you understand how you can use your elected representative, whether it's in your local community or in the Congress, very, very important. If you understand that there are many people that are suppliers to your company and your organization and how to tap into them, because your work with those suppliers, very important to the suppliers because it makes their day. That's how they become successful. So understanding those things and figuring out your roadmap going forward is absolutely essential.
That's interesting you say that. So you're saying that, and I really like that, which is that influence is not just, you and your organization or you versus you to your customers, but it's your whole stakeholder, your whole stakeholder universe. It's your suppliers, your customers, your employees, your community, your, like you said, elected officials. So it could be your government. How can you influence? How can you use your personality to influence those people to get what you need to get done? For your goals. But I would imagine that influence has to be connected to purpose. In other words, you know, I would probably imagine your purpose has to be honorable, right? As you mentioned, those people, you know, waiting to pounce on $100 billion for their own personal, goals versus a collective goal. I thought that it seems to me like influence and purpose are connected.
They are connected. I remember a number of years ago, there was a major hotel incident in the Middle West, and I was called in to help with the hotel incident. The owner of the hotel was absolutely crazy. I mean, he said, what am I going to do about this? It's going to affect my career. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. I said, well, before we figure out what you're going to do, let's figure out what everybody else is going to do. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, there are a lot of people that supply things to this hotel. There are people that work in the hotel. There are people that opine about the hotel. Let's figure out what those people are going to do. Then we'll figure out what you can do. And so what we did was we ended up building a better hotel in a better community, and everybody won in the process. Had this individual taken the program forward himself, it would not have happened. So we involved everybody from the Red Cross, those people supplying the beds and linens in the hotel. It was pretty successful.
That's fantastic. Again, it's about bringing the stakeholders together for, you know, accomplishing something that's critical for a local community or for, you know, for that particular business. So that makes a lot of sense. You talk about the importance of seizing opportunities in a crisis, and we've seen crisis leadership's an interesting thing, right? When something really goes bad, usually there's one person or someone that steps up and takes charge. Can you give us an example about how you can do this from your own career?
I remember many years ago when people who were listening to the show from Chicago will recall this, there was a bank called the Continental Bank, great bank. They had a serious financial crisis. David Taylor was the CEO. And I remember meeting with him, and we sat down and said, what can be done about this? And there were literally hundreds, thousands of employees that were going to lose their jobs. There were customers who were excited and negatively excited about their savings, a lot of different things like that. And I said, why don't we sell the bank? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, there are a lot of other banks out there that would buy your assets, come in, help you find a way to strip out the negatives and accentuate the positives. Let's do that. Taylor said, do you think anybody will buy the bank? I said, yeah, they will. And I said, David, when we put the bank up on the block for sale, you have to realize you're not going to be the CEO any longer. Mm. And he looked at me, and this was a major moment for him. And he said, okay, I'll do it. And what happened, and again, if you live in Chicago and you remember this, the bank was very, very successful before, and it became successful after. And it was basically because David Taylor decided he was going to give the ship up and try to find the right thing for employees to do. He did it, and it worked out pretty well.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. As a leader, you're responsible for the mission and the people assigned to you. Regardless of the size of your team, employees are depending on you for their lives and careers. For the sake of your team and the people who entrust you with this role, you need to master the skills to become a great leader. Best-selling leadership author John Rennie is proud to introduce the Qualified Leadership Book Series. This new series teaches you how to become a people-centered leader. Great leaders know that employees who are respected, appreciated, and allowed to grow will go the extra mile. These books provide real-world leadership wisdom written from a hands-on perspective. If you want to be a more effective leader, this is the one book series you should read this year. This three-book series contains the following best-selling leadership books: I Have the Watch, You Have the Watch, and All in the Same Boat, for one low price of $39.99. Begin your journey to become a leader worth following. Go to johnsrennie.com and get your order in today.
This episode is brought to you by Leader Connect, a leadership training company and video platform founded by the leadership book author and Deep Leadership Podcast guest, Neil Jurd. Leader Connect is a video and podcast streaming platform for leaders and teams. Watch it alone or as a team, and each video supports you and your team, allowing you to improve performance
and build a great culture. Join hundreds of experts and learn about leadership, planning, public speaking, team building, mindfulness, and a range of other subjects that will help you lead well and build a great team. I'm proud to say that I'm one of the experts on this platform. Leader Connect is offering a 10% discount to all Deep Leadership listeners. Go to leader-connect.co.uk and enter the code DEEP at checkout. Master your leadership with Leader Connect.
This episode is brought to you by Ignite Management Services. Ignite is led by Mike Watson, who you might remember from episode 137. Mike and his team believe that everything starts with leadership. Whether it's strategy execution or cultural transformation, it's the role of the leader to create the conditions for their people to succeed. The team at Ignite can help you develop critical habits to enhance your leadership capability and transform your business. Ignite Management is now offering the Resilient Leadership Assessment Tool. This is an online questionnaire designed to assess and guide leadership development, coaching, and team building. It provides leaders an opportunity to gain insights into their leadership strengths and development needs. After taking this assessment, you will receive a custom detailed report that provides practical and actionable recommendations to enhance your effectiveness. I have taken this assessment myself and found it to be extremely valuable in helping me make changes to my leadership approach. Right now, Ignite is offering 15% off the price of this tool to the Deep Leadership audience. Go to ignitemanagement.ca and enter the code START15 at checkout to get started today. Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of people with large egos would not necessarily let go. They would say, I'm going to ride this ship into the, I'm going to go down with the ship. But he said, no, I'm going to make a decision. What's best for the employees, for the community,
there are a lot of people,
customers.
A lot of people out there with large egos. I remember years and years ago, you never actually went into the office of the boss because he would chew your head off and spit you out. Today, that's really different. I mean, today, the boss really needs to be someone who participates with everybody else. And something good happens because it's 1 + 3 = 5. And that's the game to get into. Most bosses remember that. There are some. And over the years, I remember years ago, Fortune magazine published an article in Clyde, Fortune's 10 Toughest Bosses. CEOs were the 10 toughest bosses. America. I worked for 7 of them. And in working with them, I found the one thing that really worked out was when you sat down with them and said, you don't have to be so tough. Look at all the different assets you have, how you can use them, how you can help people. Of the 7 I worked with, 5 said, hey, that's right. Let's go for it. Let's do it. They got off the Fortune list. They were never listed again as one of the 10 toughest bosses. The 2 that couldn't deal with it were listed again for several years. And they lost some of their key people. Individuals did not want to work with them. Suppliers didn't want to come to them. Customers looked for alternatives. And it was because of the approach these guys took that really hurt them. So they were 2 of the 10 toughest bosses, and they remained that way.
You know, it's interesting. I can't even almost imagine someone would want to be on that list today. I think we've moved beyond that. I've been leading for 35 years, and so I've seen a big change. And you know, at the time, you know, the boss was the center of everything, right? And now, you know, I think people have realized that, you know, the collective wisdom of a group, you know, being able to tap into the knowledge and the experience of the people around you better is going to lead you to more success. So I think, you know, it's the 10 toughest bosses list. You probably don't want to be on that today.
there are a lot of elements to this. Many, many years ago, women were generally not thought of as anything other than an economic or homemaker kind of person in a company. Boy, has that changed. Pardon me. Today, women are thought of as co-equals with men. There's an opportunity for them that is going to expand dramatically in the next 5-10 years. And it's going to be totally different. The judgment was made a number of years ago that women just didn't have it. They weren't tough enough. They weren't smart enough. Not true. They sometimes are a lot tougher and a lot smarter than the men in the organization. So that's all changed as well. There are a lot of changes in organizations like that. taking place. And when it comes to yourself, your own business, what you do, if you understand power and influence, then you'll understand what to do. There's a man who is a head of a major investment company here in New York City. He's very well known. He's the face of the company. What he does, very smart. He gets his top people together every week and talks to them about what they're going to do to move the company forward. And then he celebrates it. He gives awards out to people who've actually done it. And that's a big thing. There are police departments throughout the United States, and the cops are under a lot of pressure these days. But some of the police departments do something absolutely brilliant, which is once they go after a criminal and they apprehend them, they give rewards to the people that actually were part of the process. It doesn't become just the judge and a few people. It's actually a whole group of people that make life a little bit better. We have tremendous problems right now in New York City with the mayor. And he really, I don't think, quite understands this yet. We're going to get to him, and he will eventually understand it, or he won't be mayor any longer. So we'll get to him and show him how to empower people, how to work with people, how to involve women in your organization, how to make people who are the, quote, small, quote, people actually much bigger, because those small people can make your life a lot better, a lot easier, and they can create a really positive result.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. We talked about the idea of globalization technology, how it's changing, it's changing the field of power and influence. What are some of the challenges of managing a network in a digital age where we're today? There's social media. You have like we're doing a Zoom call right now. I mean, you have this face-to-face communication around the world. What are some of the challenges and how does your book address that?
Well, the biggest challenge is understanding how to use social media. A lot of people still don't know how to do it. I'm not sure I understand it totally, but I think that's the biggest challenge, figuring out how to do that. And then once knowing that, how to use social media through positive, constructive messages that go to a very distinct group of people. That's the way to do it. A lot of people don't know how to do that, but it can be done. You can start with virtually nothing and find a way to build it into an audience of hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands. It just takes a way to do that. The key to that, of course, is having an idea and taking that idea and finding a way to turn it into social media so that people understand it. It takes off. So you don't have people at the top of corporations, most of whom, by the way, don't know how to use social media. They hire people that do. But you don't have these people any longer running the show. You have people in the middle of the organization figuring out a way to use social media to help the organization. That's a big plus.
I think you're right. I mean, I've got a friend. His name is Dave Dana, and he's on Twitter, and he's basically sharing his journey. He weighed 400 pounds, and he's trying to lose weight. So I had him on the podcast when he lost his first 100 pounds, and now he's at about 150 pounds. And he talks about it every day on Twitter, what he's doing. He's got a major following now. He's monetized. He makes money on Twitter and on YouTube just by making videos and talking about what he's doing. But just recently, Arnold Schwarzenegger recognized what he was doing and gave him a shout out, and then recently invited him out to work out with him. In fact, last week they worked out together out in California. And so here's one guy in South Carolina wanting to lose weight, and he's created a movement. He's basically encouraging people. You know, he's being real about the challenges of trying to lose all that weight, and he's just created a movement. The point is that it's the use of being able to use these social media, these electronic formats in a way to create influence, create movement. He has created a movement just by him sharing his journey, which is, it's really incredible.
Well, that's pretty good. I'm going to try to find out who this person is and reach out to them. I have lost 72 pounds. In the last 8 months, but I've now plateaued. And so I've got to figure out how to lose another 50. And if I do that, my life will actually probably be better. So I'll find out who this person is.
Oh, yeah. He's very active on Twitter, Dave Dana, and I highly recommend. He's a great follow, and he's a very encouraging individual. So he's humble. He's just sharing his journey, and he kind of gets behind people, and he's a cheerleader as well. So it's fun to watch him, because he was nobody, you know, 2 years ago, and it's just interesting to watch his journey. So,
well, you stopped me. I was going to have some cherry pie later on after the show. Maybe I won't do it.
Don't blame me for that. I love it. You talk about the importance of effective communication as far as power and influence. Can you share us some tips or ideas so how professionals can get better with their communication skills?
Yes, thank you. A large part of it is understanding that the shorter your communication is, generally the better it is. Number two, understand language and how you use proper language to get your communication out there. Don't try to overwhelm your audience with a lot of things that frankly don't make sense. Find a way to build off every single success you have so you can take it to another higher level. Look into ways that you can shape the visual images of what you do so that they capture something. I remember a man one time said to me, I'll get back to the women issue here, we don't want to use Betty in the show. I said, you got to use Betty. He said, why? I said, because everybody likes Betty, and if you don't, it doesn't make any difference. You want to really reflect on that in terms of your own persona, but let's use Betty and we'll get a result. Well, he used Betty, and Betty loved it. She adapted to it. It became very successful, as did this guy's company and his movement.
I love that. Yeah. And you said something that's interesting. You said, you know, capitalize on your wins. I always believe that in business, at least my experience in business is like momentum is critical. I guess maybe that's my mindset is always like, just keep the momentum going. If you've got a win, you've got to build on that win. You've got to keep that going. And I hate it when things slow down, when you're not getting, when that flywheel starts slowing down, I've always get nervous, you know? So I think the idea of capitalizing and continuing to build off your successes and taking advantage when you can is really important. I think it's an important message.
That's a great bit of advice for everybody listening to the show or watching the show. Take advantage of what you've done, but also leverage it. Take it to the next step and don't give up. Never give up. So that's very important to understand that.
Yeah, it's kind of a theme in this show. Don't give up the ship. If you're watching it on YouTube, there's a flag right behind me. That's a big part of what we talk about here. When you, especially as an entrepreneur, I know we have a lot of entrepreneurs listening in, and you know, it's tough out there when you start a business, and it maybe it's fun and when you first get funded and you're moving in that direction, but there are some deserts out there where you're out there all by yourself, it's rough. So don't give up the ship, keep fighting, and keep pressing forward. It's a good, very good advice.
And one point on that, if I can make it, which is you have a great idea. You're really excited about your idea. Understand how other people think about your idea and how you can relate your idea to how they're thinking. So it's not just your idea. It's the marketplace. It's the ultimate customer. You got to understand them.
You got to talk to people other than your parents, your mom. Your mom's going to love your idea, but you got to talk to someone who's going to pay money for it.
Very true. Exactly. Very true.
So maybe what are some common mistakes people make when they're trying to gain power and influence, and how can we as leaders avoid that?
It's a shame, but a lot of people, once they begin to have power, it goes to their head.
Yeah.
And don't let it happen. That's number one. Always be grounded in whatever you could possibly be grounded. A lot of people, when they begin to influence things, stop. That's not a very good thing to do either. You have to say 1 + 1 = 3, and now let's get to 5, and then 7, and keep on going after that. So don't give up, number one. Number two, find a way, if you're in the power influence game, to use the very different assets of power, because there are many. It's not all the internet and social media. Oftentimes, just write a plain English sentence and say to yourself, how do I communicate this English sentence to other people? There are many cases where I've said to people who come with the most complex situation in the world, this is really very difficult, right? They, oh, yeah, it's difficult. I said, let's write down one sentence that tries to capture what you're trying to do. Oh, we can't do that. And I said, well, why don't we try? And it always works. Even the most powerful people in the world say to themselves, okay, one sentence works, let's do it. So that's very effective.
Yeah, I like that idea. I mean, if you can explain a complex idea in simple language, you're going to be more effective than creating, you know, a 20-page something, you know, that no one's ever going to read or understand. I've always said that your mission and vision statement should be something that is very, it's a few words, it's four words, it's five words that you can repeat, you know.
Very simple.
And I think that, I tell the story, my wife was a teacher when I was stationed in Southeast Georgia, and she had a principal that said every time that they had a meeting, he said, stand up and teach. He said, I don't want you sitting in your and doing paperwork. I don't want you grading paper. When the kids are there, stand up and teach. And my wife, 30 years later, is still, those words are in her mind. Stand up and teach. That's my job, is stand up and teach. So
and your message.
Yeah.
Don't give up the ship.
Yeah, exactly. Make it very clear. And yeah, right. Don't give up the ship. It's very easy to understand. So yeah, make these statements, make your statements powerful. And they may be complex, but do it in simple language that everyone can understand. I love that. Now,
one thing I might say to your listeners and your viewers is this: pay attention to your wife, or if it's a woman, pay attention to your husband. They generally know a lot. And in knowing a lot, don't just reject what they have to say. Reject some of it, but take the best ideas. And that's very important.
Oh, absolutely. I think a good marriage is a partnership, and you need that, you know. It's sort of, at least for me, at least it's it's sort of the yin and the yang. I'm thinking more rationally and she's thinking more emotionally. And I think I need that, and to connect those two together to make this better decisions.
Very true. It's exactly how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. So what final message would you like to leave with our listeners about this book and about the subject of power and influence?
The basic message I'd like to leave is you can succeed and do better. And if you succeed and do better, everyone around you will succeed and do better. Society will be better. And so give it a shot. Do the best you can. And when you do, you'll see all boats will rise. And that's a real positive thing. So my message is don't give up. Keep plugging away, and eventually you're going to see a good result. And don't let it go to your head. Recognize that there are millions, tens of millions of people out there who probably have better ideas than you. But don't let it go to your head. Very important.
I love it. It's such powerful advice for our listeners. That's fantastic. And again, listeners, you've heard it here. Like, if you can make a big difference in this world, and you can really, and I think there's never been a better time to be able to use the leverage of technology to gain influence in the world. So if you've got a vision that's powerful, you have a passion that's powerful, I highly recommend you use these resources. First of all, I highly recommend you get this book and learn how to use these resources as a lever to be able to build that influence. So absolutely. Robert, how can our listeners find out more about you, your company, and all your books?
Well, you can go to the website, of course, the Dillenschneider Group Incorporated, and you'll find a lot there. I hope that you'll see, and your listeners will pick up, a book I'm finishing right now on character, the importance of having character in life. I look at our leading people and politicians, they don't have a lot of character at this point. Maybe I can convince them to do it. But there are people that do have character. And if you have character, everybody says, gee, that's a pretty good situation. So I hope that people will say to themselves, how can I reflect character? I'd like them to do that.
Oh, outstanding. I like that. We're going to put links in the show notes for all of Robert's resources. And I want to have Robert back. We're going to talk about character with his next book. So hopefully we'll do that before this election coming up this year. So, but we'll talk about the subject of character, very important subject as well. Robert, I want to thank you for coming on the show, sharing all of your, you know, decades of experience and this new book. I think we've all learned something just having a chance to talk with you.
It's nothing less than an honor to be on the show. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share so we can continue to build a world with better bosses. Until next time, this is John Rennie saying take care and lead well.
Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information and updates, please visit our website at www.deepleadershippodcast.com or johnsrennie.com. Until next time, take care.
Hi, I'm Lessa Gaudet, host of Her Extraordinary Life by Design podcast, where we celebrate women who are shaping their lives one extraordinary day at a time. I speak with women from all over the world about what they do and how they are passionately pursuing their dreams and creating meaningful impacts on their communities. So come join us and learn about all there is to learn about these extraordinary women.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production. Electricast.